All right, good evening. Let's go ahead and get started. We got a full evening ahead of us. We're looking forward to doing some singing and then also hearing from Kevin and the updates on from his trip to Nepal. And it'll be good and be encouraged by the way the Lord used him and the people that he was with to encourage the church leaders there, also spur us to be reminded of to pray for pastor as he's in another part of Nepal. I don't think he's at the same spots you are. Yeah, he's at a different spots, but doing much of the same type of work. And so, it's neat how a little church here in southern Ohio can have an impact on a country literally on the other side of the world, and the Lord's doing some great things there. So we're looking forward to that. At the end of the service, we'll do our monthly business meeting. Got a couple items we need to address with that, and that'll be what's on store for us tonight. So coming up for ministry-wise, we want to be reminded next couple of weeks. Some monies have come in already, but next couple of weeks we'll be having the harvest offering. And so if you want to, the Lord leads you to give more, a little bit more to that, those ministries, we're going to be given splitting that harvest offering this year and going to Tri-State, Bible College and then also, Baptist Children's Home, both of them doing some really neat things and we want to, encourage them in this process there. So that'll be coming up. Not this Wednesday. This Wednesday is going to be the normal Wednesday night where we have our weekly prayer meeting in here, continuing through 1 Corinthians. We'll be at the end of chapter 3. Fly ministry happening downstairs. Great things happening in that ministry, and thankful for all of you who will participate in that. But the week after, this Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we'll be doing our annual Thanksgiving service. So I know several people travel or are busy getting ready for Christmas dinner the next day, but if you can make it out here, that's probably one of my favorite services of the year, just to be able to stop, slow down, and give thanks to the Lord for the many things that he has done and to participate in that. So that'll be coming up that Wednesday before Thanksgiving. When we come into December, community groups will take a break through the month of December. December 4th will be our annual business meeting where we'll be approving the budget for 2023 and the nominations for different offices for 2023 as well. Speaking of those, both of those will be posted per our bylaws next Sunday on the bulletin board in the back hallway here. So if you're wanting to see those, we may even put a copy out here on the foyer as well to make sure that people can see those. Be ready to vote on December 4th. December 11th, that next week, we are looking forward to having the children's Christmas program in the evening. They started that practice today. That's for children up through sixth grade. They get a lot packed into just a few short practice weeks there. So Bethany, Andrea, and Kayla are heading that up. So lots of little kids, and we've got lots of sixth graders this year, fifth and sixth graders. So it'll be neat to be able to see that. And then we got the Christmas schedule coming up. I do know, and we'll be getting more information about service schedules around the holidays and what's going to be happening there at a later date. We're also looking forward to biblical counseling starting in January. We're getting closer and closer to that date. So that'll be Monday nights, January through March. And so that'll be will be good to be part of that. And so more information will be coming out about that ministry. They just wrapped up one in Parkersburg a couple weeks ago where you said 70? 70-some people went through the training. Several of them are potentially seeking certification. So the Lord's really using that ministry and giving people biblical answers for the problems of life. So we're blessed and thankful for that. Any other ministry updates or announcements we need to make tonight? So, good deal. Well, with that, we'll go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll turn it over to Kevin for the bulk of the service tonight. So let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity we have to be here tonight. We thank you for the church and the opportunity we have to be a part of the church. We thank you for the opportunity we have to be here tonight, in particular to hear an update of how you are working in Nepal and how you used Kevin and the team that he was with for the couple weeks that he was over there training. And Lord, it's good for us to hear this. We get so locked into our own little world and our own little schedules that we need to remember that we serve a big God who is at work in many places and many people all over the world. And what a privilege it is to serve, that we all serve the same God, that when we gather on Sunday mornings and worship, that we are linking arms with not only people that are here in the building with us, our local church, which we love, but also with people from around the world. And one day we'll all be gathered in one place and worshiping together and singing your praises together. And we long for that day. And Lord, we pray that you would just allow us to get a picture of that even here while we're here, as we have an opportunity to send people out and be a light and to train church leaders around the world. Lord, we thank you for Pastor as he's doing that now. Be with him as he continues to minister there. Continue to grant him health and the ability to teach and to teach well. I pray that you would encourage the men and women there at that training as they head back to their home, their own local churches, and seek to lead those and to lead them well. Lord, we thank you for the many ministries that are happening at Wheelersburg Baptist Church. And Lord, it's just such a blessing to be able to serve and to be able to be a part of those. And we're thankful for those who sacrifice their time and energy and mental capabilities to be able to be a part of those ministries. And Lord, we ultimately use those and desire for those to be used as a way to make disciples locally and worldwide, Lord. And I pray that you would continue to allow us to preach the gospel and to train and to teach those through those ministries that you allow us to come in contact with on how to follow you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the discipleship process in action. Lord, we thank you for the holidays coming up, so many different opportunities that come with those. Lord, I pray that you would be with those, first of all, that may be hurting during the holidays. Sometimes it brings up remembering of the fact that people are no longer with us. Loved ones are no longer with them, and other ideas. Lord, I pray that you would just give them the grace they need, allow them to hope and to rest in you. And those of us that are walking through those, help us to be sensitive to those people. Help us to have a joy and have an ability to be able to have conversations with friends and family that we may not see very often. Specifically those who are going through difficult times or don't know you as Savior, help us to be a light and to be a joy and to be ready to share the truth of your word. Point them to the cross as we learn this morning. We pray that you would work in all of their hearts, Lord, that they would grow to be more, to see you clearer and clearer, Lord. Lord, we thank you again for the way that you continue to have your sovereign control over all things. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to serve you and to follow you and to find joy in doing that. And I ask this all in your Son's precious name. Amen.
Please find a hymnal. Tonight we're going to be singing hymns that celebrate the character and attributes of our God. We'll begin with hymn number 25, Immortal, Invisible. Let's stand to sing, please. compared the attributes of God to the high mountains and to the heavens, just like David did in Psalm 36, beginning with verse 5. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. We do indeed. Number 43, please. Great is thy faithfulness. Sing the first, the third, and then the fourth stanzas. Number 92. Thank you. This summer I received a phone call. Jan and I were on our way to North Carolina for a little vacation to see our other daughter and enjoy the beach and the water and still try not to get wet. Isn't that how you enjoy the beach and the water? And I received a phone call while we were driving, and I didn't recognize the number, so of course I didn't answer, and I let it go to voicemail. And then when we got checked in, I checked my phone, and it was from Tom Carr. Well, I knew Tom Carr from Cedarville University. He was a student there while I was working. And he was asking if I wanted to go to Nepal with him. And I was like, Nepal, Kentucky? Nepal where? So I called him, and sure enough, he is with Tri-M Global. And they have an interesting take. I'm sure pastors explained this, that, I went to Bible college, and several of my classmates went to the mission field. And so that meant that they would study the Bible, and then they would go on the road in what was called deputation, and they would travel around to churches to raise support so that when they went to Brazil or some other country that God was calling them to, they would not have to get a job, that they could focus full-time on the ministry. And sometimes it would take a year and a half, 2 years, sadly a lot, where like 3, 4 or more years to raise that support to the level where which the mission board would let them go. And then they would go off, and then when they got there, they'd have to learn the language. They'd have to learn the culture. They'd have to find a place to live and get acclimated and introduce themselves to people. And it would take a long time to become accepted in that community and then have a Bible study and then hopefully a church. And Tri-M said, I wonder if there's a better way. And so they would send missionaries out to these countries, third world countries primarily, or countries that had not been exposed to the gospel in a long time. And that was one of my first trips. I went to Russia and taught with Tri-M. And so they would go and they would find local pastors who already had a church, who spoke the language, knew the culture. You know, it's where they were born. It's their native country. The only thing they didn't have was resources. When I went to Moscow, some of these pastors did not have a complete copy of God's Word. This is not too far after the Soviet Union. And so when my church at that time took up a love offering, and we were able to not only teach them, but give them copies of God's Word. We were able to give them other study books, commentaries, books on theology. And so these pastors whose library was, you know, the New Testament and maybe one other book, most of them not, all of a sudden they had resources. They had study guides from us. And I said, wow, I think Tri-M is onto something here. And several men that I knew were involved in that ministry, going and finding these countries. And now here's Tom. And he goes to Nepal 4 times a year, and he teaches modules. And this time he wanted, instead of what he's doing with Pastor Brad right now, going, he and Brad is the teaching team, and they're teaching 3 subjects in 2 modules. So last week they had a group, and they taught for 5 days. And then this week, a different group in a different city teaching 5 days. And if the schedule is the same, Pastor Brad is teaching Psalms like I did. And Psalms is on the 5th module. And there are 8 modules. So if you commit as a Nepali pastor, if you commit to being involved in this ministry, you're going to have 24 subjects, all the ologies, theology proper, bibliology, all those, and some other practical things to help you in your ministry as a pastor. And what a wonderful way to get involved. And so Tom wanted to know if I wanted to go to Nepal. So I was like, wow. And teach Psalms. Oh, okay. then I'm in. And this passage, Psalm 36, was one that God used for me. And the passage I read, your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like the great deep. It's like David is saying, how can I paint this picture of God? To what do I compare God? So he's thinking of what's the biggest, vast thing that I know of. And so he talks about the great deeps of the ocean. Well, here we are in 2020, and we still haven't discovered all that there is in the oceans. There's only been one or two people that have been to some of the deepest parts. Or the heavens, the clouds. This was a great year. Back in 1996, they started making plans for a telescope that would take pictures out in space. And then last Christmas, December 25th, 2021, they launched the Webb Space Telescope. And then this July, they released some of the photographs that it was taking. And you know what they discovered about space? It's big. It's vast. It's bigger than we thought. Those little specks that we thought were stars, turns out they're entire galaxies. That's our God. Bigger than we thought. Beyond our understanding. In verse 6, he says, your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Well, we have great mountains here in the United States. The Rockies, or our personal favorite, the Tetons. Man, great mountains. Well, I looked up Nepal since it looked like I was going to be headed there. Guess what? Nepal has mountains. They have the tallest mountain in the world. They have 8 of the 10 tallest peaks are in Nepal. Now, Nepal is roughly, the border of it is roughly 39% bigger than the state of Ohio, roughly the size of Florida. So it's not a huge space. And in that space, there are 1,310 mountain peaks higher than 600 meters. Or, for those of you like me who did not learn meters, could not multiply by 10, that's 19,685 feet. 1,310 mountain peaks taller than that. Than 19,685 feet. You know how many mountains in the Rockies or the Tetons or here on North America we have that are taller than 19,685 feet? Anybody want to guess? Close. We have one. It's Denali in Alaska. That's it. So in all of Alaska, they're tallest. And in the little space of Nepal, 1,310. So you can imagine when you take 2.5 times the population of this of the state of Ohio and you squish them, because not many, I guarantee you no one is living in the top of those mountains. They're all living down low. And they're all living like this, squished together. So that's where we were off to. We left Columbus and flew to Dallas, where we got on Qatar Airlines. Oh, it was a beautiful plane. And everyone, the pilot came on and spoke in English and greeted us and told us where we were headed. All this Flight attendants spoke in English. All the announcements on our little screen in front of us were in English. And then I dozed off. And one of the great features on that screen is your flight plan. So you could see exactly where the plane was going. And I dozed off, and somewhere while we were over the Mediterranean, I woke up. And the pilot came on with an announcement. And I didn't understand a word, because he was no longer speaking English. He was speaking Arabic. And the announcements on the screen were in Arabic. And the flight attendants came by and asked me questions in Arabic. They were getting me ready. You're not in Kansas anymore, Kevin. You're going to a different place. And in fact, this prompted, I don't know if you can see that, but it is a prompt, and it popped up all time and time again. Can you read that at all? That's okay. It says, they're asking you to please remain seated during prayer. Now, I've flown quite often here in the United States, and I don't ever remember being prompted to pray, unless something horrible was about to happen, let alone my posture. But what they didn't want was for these faithful worshipers of Islam to be in the aisle praying. So they asked them kindly to remain seated during their regular times of prayer. I thought, oh boy, wow. Well, the plane lands, and we're in Kathmandu, and we get in a car, and off we go. And it's obvious things have changed. Can you see that rat's nest of electrical cord? That was actually one of the better situations. A couple times the glob was twice that size, and loops of it hanging down on the ground where you could walk. And in one place, I saw a guy on an aluminum ladder climbing up to adjust on an aluminum ladder, climbing up with electrical cords hanging all around him. Scary, scary. And while you're driving, you have other traffic coming. You have trucks, you have autos, motorcycles dashing in and out everywhere, and then people. Now, you can honk, and that person might go off to the side. He might not, and you just have to wait. Everything was different. The architecture, very colorful, very interesting. And then, here you go. If we're driving and that crowd of people is coming, we're going to have to sit and wait. Driving all for 18 days, all the driving that we did in several cities, I saw two traffic signals. They just did not exist. You just took care. And you can see they made some corrugated metal, made some little overhangs so rain and sun wouldn't get into the shops. You can't see the maze of in person, you can barely see these homes because of the wall of electrical wires going across. There were some very, very attractive multi-story homes. And then in front, that corrugated metal, several pieces, probably none more than 6 feet in length, that was someone's house. And they put tires on the roof to keep the metal on the roof. There was a little square of concrete off to the right, and then there was one of those old-fashioned pump wells, and I watched the mother fix some meals and wash some dishes right there, kids playing. And then they would drive us from, we got to stay in a little hotel, and then they would drive us to where we were teaching the classes, and I came out of the hotel and I saw this parked, and I thought, oh, finally. Some really fun, no, this wasn't our drive. We usually rode the little, you can't really see it, it's that behind this little carnival on wheels, there's a little, what they called an auto It's a three-wheel thing, a driver in front, and you can get 2 to 3 people if you sit on each other's laps in the back. This was also in the road. Cattle, dogs, goats, and you couldn't do anything. You couldn't honk at them. You couldn't go out and bump them with your bumper. You couldn't smack the cow to try to get it to move because cows are sacred. So you just had to wait. And periodically monkeys. Now, that is the auto that we would typically drive from our hotel to the teaching location, back and forth morning and evening. And I sent this picture to Pete. I'm from Kansas. And for those of you who care about college football, Kansas for the last decade and a half has had a real tough string of football. But this year, we got off to a big start, and while I was away, they jumped to a 5-0 start to the, and I got out one day, and there that was. I thought, wow, win a few football games, and you have fans everywhere. There, right there. Actually, that did end SAS. It ended SAI, but I thought Pete would enjoy that. That's the crew that went. And the gentleman in the brown shirt next to me is Badra. He was a young pastor. He's one of our translators, and he was starved for mentorship. And he just hung around us everywhere. Anytime there was any free time, he was with us, asking questions, and he was a joy to know. That's Tom. He's a leader. He's from Cedarville. His family grew up there. And his parents were our neighbors. And this is Bob Rome. He was our neighbor on the other side. So in Cedarville, there were 3 houses in a row, Bob, us, and the Cars. And the 3 of us were a teaching team in Nepal. So it was kind of a fun old home week for us. This is Chris or Christian Pillay. Now, Chris Pillay, this is as we are getting ready to board Buddha Air. We took Buddha Air from Kathmandu to Mount Hari, that area, because if we had taken a car, it would have been about a 7-8 hour drive, depending on how the roads were. And this was like an hour flight. So that's, and cost almost nothing. Some of you may remember Chris Pillay. After his time at Cedarville, he was on staff at Temple Baptist in Portsmouth. And he is an excellent musician, a violinist of, he played with symphonies as part of the orchestra. He also soloed in concertos with symphony. And he still plays, although age and arthritis and things have slowed down his hands a bit. And he was I knew him when he was a student. I know he looks a little old for me to know him as a student, doesn't he? But he is. And this is Sean Ingram, who is a pastor in Stryker, Ohio. So 4 of us of the 5 were from Ohio, and we flew together. We met in Columbus and then flew together. And then Chris lives in New York, and he joined us in Qatar. This was our schedule. You can't see it, but about 7:30 in the morning, we would gather for breakfast. We would all eat together and eat the same thing. And then there was about a half hour of worship time, and the pastors would take turns leading us in worship. And then we would teach. We would teach until about 5:30. And everybody would go at it for about an hour at a time. And throughout that week, 4.5 days, each of us would have 10 teaching times. And on the next last day was Q&A, or as it turned out, Stump the Chump. they would come up with the things that they've been wrestling with in their ministry, and we would try to help them. There were no chairs. So it didn't take me long to figure out that I'm not going to be sitting in the middle of the room with my legs crossed like everybody else, that I needed a wall to lean against and to put my hand against whenever I wanted to get up. So there's Tom and I listening to Bob teach, and you can see we were paying strict attention. Now, this is Kumar. Tom, in his years of going there, has discovered key men. There's Pastor Hari in Kathmandu, who helps him with the Nepali government. He helps sometimes with flights. He is kind of Tom's hands and eyes and ears there in Nepal. And he is always our first connection and lets us know what's going on. And there are three gentlemen. Kumar is one. Hari is another. And Lalan in Janakpur is a third, who have had Bible college training. And they not only translate for us, but they also teach at some of the modules. And that is Tri-M and Tom's ultimate goal, is that we go to an area and we teach through this module and find men who are capable of continuing. And so they go to another area and they teach. And then we don't have to be there. It's trying to get it to be a self-fulfilling ministry where the local people can do this. And Tom has faithfully taught these gentlemen to where they can do this. Now, Kumar is part of the Chapang tribe in Nepal. That tribe is known as the cave people. For centuries, they have lived in the caves, and they still are there. And someone came alongside Kumar while he was young, and he came to faith in Christ. And he was encouraged to get an education. He did. And he went on to Bible college. And now he is kind of the unofficial director of that whole region of Nepal. He goes around and disciples and encourages these pastors in their villages. He visits them. He finds out what they need. He finds men who are ready for a module and recruits them. So he does a lot of work for Tom in the field. And while we're there, we had about 60 to 65 that week who were there. Then there were the five of us who ate. And then Kumar's family ate some meals with us. Now, Kumar's family, they have a couple daughters, but he has adopted 14 kids to date. There's probably more going. Because as he goes to these villages and encourages pastors in their ministry, he might see a child or two that have been orphaned or abandoned. And so he will go through the process and he'll adopt them and he'll bring them back to his home and to his ministry. There were about 20 kids. When we were done with this room teaching around 5:30, it would fill up with Kumar's children and some neighborhood children, and they would work on their homework. And they would, it was so interesting because while they were coming up the stairs and when they're first getting in there, there was all this giggling and a lot of fun going on. And then when the teacher showed up, this is Kumar's oldest daughter. When she would show up, or Kumar's brother, and the tutoring would start, everything was just this. Oh, there was this busyness. They were all studying. They were helping. The older kids were helping the younger kids. The younger kids were, you know, it was just very industrious. And it was amazing to watch. This is the little room. That room got used for meals. It got used for our classes. It got used for the Kumar's children's tutoring, and then it would rain. You see that big window? There's no glass. That's just open. And if the rain came from the wrong direction, it flooded us out one day. The last area where we were in Janakpur, we were so, with all these mountains, you know, we were at just above sea level at this location. And that's not a rice paddy. That's just where the water table was. And it was amazing how that people would have to build up to put a house on or build up to have a road. This is a sample of what we ate. There's rice. There's some kind of really interesting toast. It was a little bit like French toast, but different. It was very tasty. And then that black, those are blackened chickpeas. Really good. There's some rice flakes. Oh, then there was a pile of rice. There's all every 3 meals a day. Count them, three. 3 meals a day, rice. We either had regular rice. We had rice flakes. We had rice noodles. Or we had puffed rice for breakfast sometimes. And there's usually a little soup at dinner that you could just eat or pour it on your rice or put your rice in it. There were some greens. There was always, if there were vegetables, they were always curried. Oftentimes the meat was curried. There was never beef. You can't eat beef. You can't eat. They are sacred. Cows are sacred, so there's no eating them. So we would eat goat. We would eat lamb. We would eat chicken. And then, in this case, there were some raw vegetables, too. So that's a sample. Here is part of my class, a greeting. The normal greeting on the street is namaste. Okay? That means hello. Christians don't say namaste. If I went up to Pete and said namaste, he would go, what? Because Christians say jemasi. Jemasi. Jemasi means praise the Lord. And it's, when I see Dan, I go, jemasi. When I see Ken, I go, namaste. No. What? Jemasi means praise the Lord. So when I do that, I'm identifying myself as a believer, and I'm also testifying, just in case I'm not sure, jemasi, about you, you know. And so it was an interesting difference. And of course, not being from there, the first day, guess what I said? Yeah. And they would all go, but they knew. And then they taught me. And so I did better after that. Here is a class. This class that I first showed you, there's almost the same number of guys on the other side of that pillar. I couldn't get my phone to shoot them all. And those guys were on their fifth module. That's the one that Tom and I and Bob were teaching. These guys were upstairs. It was their very first module. And they were all excited. And they were committed. And you can see the majority of these guys are younger. There are a few, some of the oldest guys are in here, but the bulk of this crew was older. Here's a long distance shot of the second week. We're seated. Boy, that was the thing. They always try to give us chairs. They never let us pick up anything, do anything. They just, if we tried to help, they were really offended. And so we had to stand there and take it. Now, in Psalm 36, verses 5-6, is this, David just bursts out in praise of the character of God and his attributes. His love, his mercy, his faithfulness, his righteousness, his judgments. But yes, it's great that God has all these things, but what's better is, how precious is your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. That he rains down these attributes on us. And we are the recipients. They feast on the abundance of your house. And you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. Wow. And these people that I'm going to show you, I'm going to give you some close-ups. And I'm not going to ask you to remember names. I'm just going to shoot some pictures, and some of them are going to stick with you, either by what they wear or they look like a relative of yours. Just remember their face and pray for them. that these people know the Lord. And behind each one is an incredible story of coming to faith. 80% of Nepal are Hindus. 14-point-something% are Buddhists. And it's interesting because Buddha was born in Nepal. And so they want to embrace that man Buddha, who was one of their own. And with Hinduism, you have umpteen gods, depending on who you ask. They say there are primarily 33 gods. But because they each manifest themselves in one another, if you'll look on the internet and see how many gods are there in the Hindu faith, they'll say there are 330 million gods. 330 million gods. So, why not add Buddha? He's from Nepal, so they'll combine that. And one of the things that our pastor friends there struggle with is, oh yeah, Jesus, good man, we'll add him. Hey, if you're already up to 330 million, what's 330 million to? And so, but adding Jesus, just as we heard this morning, that doesn't, I got to remember, that was Sunday school, wasn't it? The Moloch. you don't add God to another God. That doesn't work. And so there has to be clarity of thought and presentation for our friends as they testify there in Nepal. So as you're looking at some of these, just remember the incredible story, the backstory that I don't know and you don't know, but you know the God. The same God that you pray to, he prays to. And he does. So think and pray for these brothers and sisters. Some of them are going to look just like the guy down the street. They're all faithfully ministering God's word in their village. Most of these, and when I say most, I say 99% of them work. And most of them from the regions where we work as farmers. Especially the Manohari, the first week, those guys worked up in the mountains, mountain villages where they worked as farmers. I'm going to interrupt my story. This gentleman came to faith, and the whole group was so excited when he came through the door. And I don't know how many of you follow Nepali pop music. Is that on your phone? But he has been one of the top Nepali entertainers for years, decades. And he's a big deal. And he was there to learn about Jesus. He wanted to be used of God in ministry. And he acquiesced and entertained the guys one afternoon, and it was incredible. He had a great ministry just to them of encouragement, and then he gave his testimony. He's all out for the Lord. We're excited. That's Budra, and there's some more guys. Well, many of these are farmers. But because of the altitude and the terrain and the monsoon season, they only can raise enough food to provide for their family about 9 months out of the year. And then 3 months out of the year, they're foraging in the forest and the jungle for food. And you'd never know it to talk to them. You'd never know which one of these guys walked 10 hours. Had to cross a river on foot. a road bus for 12 hours to get to our module? Or which one of them could not afford rice? They usually ate millet, a grain used for livestock primarily. And so he proudly showed his plate to Tom one day and said, "This is my 12th bowl of rice." He was so excited to have rice. They look just like us, don't they? They love Jesus just like us. And God is using them in their village. Gordon Cromwell Theological Seminary does research on how the church is growing around the world. And they say that the Nepali church is one of the fastest growing body of believers. And the enthusiasm that these men and women showed us for the Word of God and testifying of what God is doing, I can believe it. But the churches are usually very small. But what's great is to hear how the impact they're having on their village. This was a ladies' Bible study. The reason I took this was because of the outfits that these ladies were wearing. It's like, oh man, wow. We had our service there one Saturday, and these ladies stayed. The men, during the church service, the men were on one side of the room and the women are on the other, and then they stayed and had a Bible study, and they let me take a picture. This is their neighbor. That color, yellow, orange, kind of turmeric, you'll see that everywhere. During festivals and from the Hindu. There, along the road, you're walking along and there's this little thing. It looks kind of like a doghouse, quite frankly. Some of them were that, but in there is a Hindu god. And then you'll see a pair of sandals and realize someone's there worshiping. And some of them were larger and fancier like this, but some were very simple. But they were everywhere, along the sidewalk, along the road. This was a river. See those platforms of concrete? How's for this? Cremation. So they would gather and clean themselves in the river and then put the bodies out. The first part of Psalm 36 is about the wicked. It says, transgression speaks to the wicked deep in his heart. And we know about the heart. Jeremiah tells us that my heart, your heart, is sinful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There is no fear of God before his eyes. You know all kinds of verses about fear. The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, you know, before you come to the Lord, there's got to be a fear. And here, the wicked, there is no fear of God before his eyes. He flatters himself in his own eyes that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. Matthew Poole, in his commentary, talking about flattering himself with his iniquity, he tells himself, my sin is not really sin. Or my sin is only a very small sin. It's no big deal. God's not going to get all uptight about me. There are bigger sins going on in the world for him to worry about. I'm okay. Or he'll say, my sin is excused because of God knows my intentions. I had good intentions. I did the wrong thing, but I didn't really mean it, so it didn't count, right? Or He'll say, well, my sin is compensated. It's balanced out. Remember when I did this thing over here? Well, that took care of this. That's what this guy in Psalm 36 is saying about his sin. He flatters himself that his iniquity cannot be found out and hated. The words of his mouth are trouble and deceit. He has ceased to act wisely and do good. He plots trouble while on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not reject evil. There's not anything evil that he goes, whoa, that's too far. In fact, he's so consumed with it, he thinks about it day and night. On his bed, he's planning, strategizing what he's going to do the next day. Now, you don't know anybody like that, do you? We don't have, you know, you think of someone like that who's most likely a Hindu, and that's him. Although, we all know that's not the case. As Paul said, and such were some of you. That's all of us. And we still do some of those things. We excuse, we wink. We haven't come to hate sin like God does. Well, all those people that you saw are praying the same thing. Here's how to pray, verse 10. Oh, continue your steadfast love to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Pray that for yourself. Pray that for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let not the foot of arrogance come upon me, nor the hand of the wicked drive me away. They have all kinds of people who are trying to get in their way of sharing the gospel there, just like we do here. There the evildoers are lie fallen. They are thrust down, unable to rise. It was a joy for me to go to Nepal, to meet believers who love the Lord, who desire to serve Him. And whenever you're at the end of something like that, you hope you minister to them just a fraction of what they ministered to you. And I want to thank you, church body, for the opportunity. It was your gracious gift that made that possible. I thank you.
Thank you, Kevin, for that update. What an encouragement that was. And just seeing their faces, they're just like us. They're living life and in need of the Lord to change their hearts, and we're thankful that He has, and they're continuing to minister in their own villages there. Any questions for Kevin? I didn't tell him we would do this part of it, but we'll surprise that on him. Any questions for him? And, Barb?
For a Hindu, do they fear persecution if they convert to Christianity?
It is against the law to proselytize to anyone under the age of 18. And so when you saw that room full of children, Kumar has to be very careful, but he just shows love. In fact, as we walked around different places in that area, if we said the word Kumar, said the name Kumar, everybody, oh, Kumar, yes. His love for people and love of the Lord has shown. And he says that in his region, that law is not strictly enforced. But all it takes is for a change of regime, for that law to be, policed. And they know of missionaries, U.S. missionaries, who have been sent home because they were caught proselytizing to someone under 18. And any Nepali, they know Nepali pastors who were fined because of that.
Good question. Any other questions?
I've got a couple here, but one, how are they on resources? Like when you teach, how many are copies of the Word readily available, or what do they have?
Every one of them has a phone. And then the Pali alphabet is exactly the same as the Indian alphabet.
Okay.
But one cannot read the other's language. One cannot speak the other's language, even though they have the same alphabet. It's a different vocabulary, different pronunciation. And so they said, no, we can't. You know, some, because the places where we were very close to the Indian border. In fact, the second week we were at in Janakpur, I got on top of the roof of the church, and 1.5 kilometers that way was India. There are more resources in India with Bible colleges, and the printed literature doesn't help, once again, because they can't read. But there are Nine Marks has some material that's translated, and they can download that from the internet in their Nepali language. But there are very few books translated in Nepali, so their resources are very limited. Some of them try to learn English just so they can go on. And what they found on the internet, Googling verses or something, really added to the confusion and the toughness of some of the questions that we got on Q&A day, because they were looking for us to resolve, you know, this guy says this and this guy says this, what, where are we?
I can imagine that being confusing.
Yes.
So another question, this isn't necessarily ministry related. Everyone talks about the height of the pole as far as, what's the lowest? Do you know the lowest point? Did they go down to sea level, or are they quite a bit above all the way through?
The last week where I was 200 some feet above sea level. You think of all those mountains, you know, the 1,310 over 6,000 meter, and here I was sitting, way down there. And because that's, the people can't live on the mountains, so they're all living along the edges of where the mountains are not, which makes it very tight, a very humid, hot, sticky climate.
It's very steep to get up to that height.
All those mountains, and I never saw one of them. We flew over them coming and going, but it was at night, and so I never saw any of them, and I couldn't see them. We were far enough away, I couldn't see them in the
really
daytime.
Yeah. Yeah. Any other questions? All right. Well, let's go ahead and thank the Lord for his mercies towards Kevin and the team, and continue to pray for those people that we see there, those ministry leaders, those people working in their churches and wanting to know the Word of God and wanting to grow in their ability to teach the Word of God to their people there. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer for that. Michael, will you lead us in prayer for that, and pray for, and give the Lord thanks for how he has blessed Kevin and that team. So.
Gracious Father, what a privilege it is to be able to gather here tonight and to be able to hear about what you're doing across the globe. Across the earth, Lord. I thank you that from our little church here, you just grant us grace upon grace for the advancement of your kingdom. Thank you that we can send out pastor and members of Kevin to faraway places to minister your word, Lord. It's a privilege to take part in that. It's a privilege to have them come back and teach us about what you're doing there. And there are so many precious souls there in Nepal, Lord. And to see those faces helps remind us they are just like us. Precious men and women made in your image, Father, of great, great worth. I just thank you, Father, that you are breaking in there. There's a lot of darkness there, especially with the Hinduism, Buddhism, hopeless, hopeless religions that, that people follow, seeking salvation, but they will not find the Lord. And so I just thank you that you are doing work there, and that work you're doing through Tri-M. I thank you for the team, Father, that you put together and allowing Kevin to be a part of it, going there to minister the word. I pray that the those modules would bear much fruit, that those pastors and leaders would be encouraged deeply in their ministries, that they'd go back to their villages even more equipped to preach your word. And I pray that, Father, you would continue the growth. It's so encouraging to hear that believers in Nepal, that is a fast-growing place for Christianity. Lord, I pray that that would continue. Bless Pastor as he seeks to minister your word, Lord. I just pray that more of the same would happen with that trip, of encouraging and equipping pastors. And that, Father, your word would go forth, and that the knowledge of Christ would go forth. And that, Father, you would do greater works there than we can even imagine. And that the light of Christ would shine in those dark places. Just thank you for allowing us as a church to take part in that. And you provide it all. And may that continue, Lord. And may we be intentional about the souls that are here in your image, and being on that same mission here and wherever else you send our people. Thank you for this time again. And thank you for your grace in Christ. In Jesus' name.
Amen. What a blessing. And again, if you have any other questions, I'm sure Kevin would love to talk about it and be able to talk to him afterwards for that. Let's transition now to our monthly business meeting aspect of it. And you should have gotten a financial report on your way in. I don't know if we have any more of those out in the